Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene like crazy people. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have two very special guests all the way from New York. The very funny Carmen LaGala.
Hello.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. You're the first one, I think.
Oh, really? Ever? Yeah.
I got balloons that. Fall from the ceiling.
Confetti everywhere. And the very awesome Sam Evans.
Oh, you got it wrong. No.
Oh, damn it. The first one to get it wrong.
No. Thank you. Thanks for having
like
us.
Sam Evans. Sam Evans, right?
The balloons go back up in the ceiling.
The confetti goes back up. Thank you guys for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
So, we watched an exciting episode.
Absolutely.
But first, we usually start the show off by asking our guest, what is their Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls affected your lives in any way, peripherally or emotionally? So go ahead, Carmen or Sam, whoever.
I actually haven't seen a ton of episodes, but I have seen a handful, enough to have an opinion on favorite characters and such. Watched it with my dad, which was a little weird because there's a lot of sexual jokes in it.
I think most people who have seen the show watched it with their dad or mom,
their parents.
Or grandparents.
Yeah.
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 Do you have a favorite Golden Girl?
Oh, actually, it's usually Blanche. Sophia should be my favorite, but Blanche just, her sexual energy is just so funny.
It steals it. It steals the show. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, this woman's on fire.
Yep,
literally.
Literally. And Sam, how about you?
Similar thing. We watched all the time, my brothers and I, with my mom. I loved that about Golden Girls, though, because that, my parents were like pretty conservative and stuff, so that was like the only time. For some reason, because it was the Golden Girls, sexual jokes were always okay on there, mm-hmm. and I loved it. So
yeah.
It was great.
It's almost like if an old person says it, or a kid, or a cartoon character says it, it's okay. Sometimes not cartoons. Maybe the parents aren't okay with some cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my mom, she didn't know English growing up, mm-hmm. so I could watch Golden Girls all day. All she saw was old people. Good. Sit him in front of it. Doesn't know what's going on. Yeah. And so we watched, like I said, a great episode today. It was a weird one, many different scenes, and it's titled Yokel Hero. It's season 4, episode 4. The original air date is November 5th, 1988. Yeah, kids, that's right. That's right. A lot of people listening are millennials right now, and they're like, that's old. And Genevieve, as we do with every episode, is going to give us a brief synopsis of what we watched for the people who weren't here with us.
Well, it's one of the hottest days of the year in mm-hmm. Miami. And unfortunately, Golden Girls' house, their air conditioner went out. But it's okay, because they're going to St. Olaf, because Rose has been nominated for St. Olaf Woman of the Year. And so the ladies all travel to St. Olaf. It takes like 6 weeks. And turns out that Dorothy and Blanche decided to make up some accomplishments for Rose. So they get almost all the way there and turn back. And all the ladies want to bone Harry Weston from Empty Nest.
Yeah. A weird curveball at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we start the episode off. They're coming in. The Golden Girls are coming in from a charity softball game, and we get to see them in their like softball amazing.
This is the first time we've seen shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
On Rose, I think.
Yeah.
On anybody else? No.
No,
I don't think so. Yeah, Rose is wearing shorts. We've seen leggings. We've seen the leggings. AC's broken. Everyone is hot, but they're wearing sweaters as per usual. Hottest day of the year.
Yeah.
And so they go into the kitchen where Sophia, they catch her Not naked. Well, she's got a bathrobe on, but it's open and the refrigerator's open.
She's in flasher's pose.
Flasher's yeah, yeah. pose. Yeah, she's flashing the meatloaf. There's a good meatloaf joke in there. I'm giving the thrills to the meatloaf. That's what she says.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably my favorite joke of the episode.
Yeah, pretty yeah. good one. Yeah. And then these, I love when they were like, hey, Dorothy says, Ma, close the door. You're going to spoil the food. And then she closes her robe instead. Okay. And so here, oh, also there was like underwear in the freezer. Did you guys catch that?
I feel like she would have done that anyway. It didn't matter if the air conditioner was broken. like she's like, this is my chance.
This is my chance to freeze underwear.
That's a good idea. It's like, I'm right? going to do that when it's hot out. It's smart.
I'm
going
to do it right now.
Phoenix. Let's all put our underwear in the freezer, guys.
Solidarity.
I would put a blanket in there and then just like, or some sort of like more covered. I don't know.
I feel like, I don't know. These are old ladies. They have packed fridges. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. They can't put blankets in there.
No, they wouldn't no fit.
Okay. And so that's when Rose finds out. She's going through the mail. She finds out she's being nominated for Woman of the Year for St. Olaf's Woman of the Year. Sorry. And which is, to me, it's weird because she doesn't live there anymore. Hasn't lived there in years. So how and why are they nominating her? Do you know? Like, I found that strange.
Yeah, there is no talk of who nominated her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be revealed. And, yeah. I mean, was it a cow?
Yes, it was Ingrid from the shuttle.
I feel like this contest too was very far reaching.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they went to a lot of, I mean, especially for something where they just get a trophy,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it was highly funded as well.
Oh yeah,
like where they the paid.
Yeah, they flew three guys down.
Flew three dudes down to Miami, Florida, and then back. And then they flew four women to St. Olaf, St. Gustav, and then had, you know, so they and so it seemed like half the town budget is going into this, like, contest or, yeah, it's, I don't know what, I don't understand. It's very confusing to me. And so she has to make a resume, basically. She has to make a list of all her accomplishments. And that in the next scene, Rose turns out doesn't like her accomplishments. Yet she has been she works at a grieving center. She's a counselor. She's done there. We've been to it before, and so
they're always involved in charity stuff too.
Yeah,
they're at a charity softball game.
They were just at a charity softball game. Yeah. But all she can think of is like, I saved a baby bird from a nest.
Pretty good.
And then I gave a bus directions. Like, that was the other one. Like, and yeah, so.
They also really glossed over the. This is maybe jumping ahead, but they really glossed over the fact that at the end it turns out the person that was gonna win was a murderer.
Yeah.
Skeleton. In his closet. Like, why are you not talking about that?
Yeah, so the person that ended up winning, who was originally, she was like, she took care of homeless people. She, not took care of them, but she fed them. She volunteered all these things and then turned out to be a crazy, like a psycho killer.
Do you think she actually got prosecuted for murder, or do you think like they just were like, no, you just can't be Woman of the Year?
Yeah. That's your punishment.
You got bigger things to worry about. That's so funny.
Oh man. Yeah, that's the biggest biggest accomplishment. Oh, it's the highest honor in St. Olaf, which, like, I'm sorry to bring up something from a different episode, but in a previous episode, there was this whole thing where the highest honor from St. Olaf was Butter Queen. Oh. And it was...
yeah. That's my nickname. Respect
women. Yeah, and so it was this competition where they just churned butter and so that was...
Sounds legit,
right? So I guess that's not a thing anymore. Times have changed, I guess, since St. Olaf. Okay, and so so counselor, not important. Baby bird, more important. And so Rose takes off to, because she's still upset, and then Dorothy and Blanche take it upon themselves to come up with the lies, the embellishments. Embellishments. There you go. And it's weird because they write this in a spiral notepad, and like it's like Rose just like, I guess, typed it up verbatim without reading it over. I don't understand how this got submitted without Rose going over it.
They were just like, yeah, we'll take care of it.
Don't worry about this. We got your resume, girl. Okay, so the next scene, it's like they're all sitting in the living room, all the Golden Girls. They got their fans. Sophia has got this, like, bottle water. It's like a water bottle fan.
They make it seem like it's, like, a couple hours later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they mailed it already.
Yeah, because, like, Rose comes out of the bedroom and they're like, "How are you feeling better?" And she's like, "Yeah." I'm like, I kind of, has been moping about this for days.
Right. Like, she's been for a week, straight depression about.
I also hope their air conditioner isn't down that long. They actually did someone out.
You know, well, they made it seem like it was because they were all using like fans speaking of and hotness. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how come it takes 6 weeks to get to St. Olaf, but mail takes maybe a half hour?
Yeah. How does the mail, they drop the mail, like, it's like a drop mail, like that dude that flew off the plane. don't understand. Okay, and then, all right, and so there's a knock on the door, and these triplets, they're called, I wrote it down, the Topol Kofor triplets. Yeah, they're the blue ribbon panel.
It's good to get that right.
Yeah. You're welcome, guys. You're welcome. If you can trust Anthony for anything, is writing down the names of Norwegian people on the Golden Girls. And so it's Len, Sven, and Ben. And they are the triplets that don't look alike, which, is that a thing? Do triplets come out not looking alike? Like,
I mean, yeah, you could have... I mean, you can...
They're called paternal triplets, right?
Yeah, fraternal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, fraternal. Okay, sorry. I don't know words. Genevieve's the smart one. And so people listening laughing at me. Okay, and so they couldn't...
They could be like Irish triplets.
Right.
Where they like were born like 9 months apart.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. They almost look like younger... middle and older brother to me, and they just said, and then people were just like, "You guys are triplets," and then they're like, "Okay, we're triplets now."
I bet they aren't even brothers.
Yeah. They met that day. They all had like these, I couldn't figure out their accents. They were just like really, like, I don't know, they weren't from anywhere, these accents. they're wearing layers upon layers of fabric. They're wearing trench coats and sweaters and scarves, and it's like 110 degrees out, they said, and they're totally cool with it. Like, they're fine. Excuse me. Sorry.
And they also just like came there like instantaneously, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't call. No phone.
No one ever calls the Golden Girls.
Yeah, what if they hadn't been home? They've been like out of town.
Like,
wow. We really should have thought this through.
They just sit on the doorstep until they come home. It's weird. Okay, they get there and they were like, "We need a face-to-face interview." But they only ask like two questions, and they're worded in that very like they're worded in a way where you can answer, and each party gets to get away with not revealing a lie. You know what I mean? And it's so hard to describe that to the listeners, but it's like, what? Tell us about how you saved that eagle. And she's like, it's just a bird. And then check mark, lie not revealed, because no one said that's not correct. And so they, and then then they're sort of, Dorothy's kind of pushy. She's like,
oh, what? Dorothy's pushy?
She's like, come on, is she woman of the year or not? Like, you asked two questions already. Is she or not? Like, you're wasting our time here. And so, and then they sort of like gather around. Oh, they have hot chocolate, by the way, which is great when you're, it's 110. And they just sort of like whisper and they say, congratulations, you're woman of the year. They just decided they're the committee, I guess, too. and then they do the oofta. They cheers with their hot cocoa oofta, yeah. Which is very like military to me. Yeah, I don't know.
Does it mean anything? Does it ever say that?
Supposed to be episode? like a Norwegian thing.
A Norwegian.
I thought St. Olaf was in Minnesota.
Yeah,
but that area is real. Like
they keep like
Swedish.
Like there were Swedish settlers in Vikings like that settled in Minnesota, which is that a real thing?
Yeah,
that's a, I guess. And so that's what they make fun of. And so, okay, the next thing they're like in that plane, the little tiny plane. There's a flight attendant does not want to be there.
and she's one of six people on the plane.
There's another dude who's covered in fabric, and then there's the Golden Girls. So there's like four, five, six, seven people if you count the pilot. Yeah. And so it's a rickety little plane, which I am personally like scared of tiny planes, or either being a giant plane, because we almost died in one tiny
That's
plane.
Being strong.
Yeah. I'm afraid of heights, so to me we almost died. Genevieve is okay. It's kind of weird, the plane, the tiny plane is like smoky. I think it's back.
It's not a good tiny plane.
Yeah.
No.
There's fog inside this plane, which concerns me. Did you guys notice it was foggy in there? Yeah. The props people were trying to make it like foggy outside, and then it just seeped inside. I don't know. Or maybe old planes had fog. I'm sorry, what were you going
to say? Oh, they probably just used a fog machine right outside.
Yeah.
And then they were just like, oh, we'll just pretend that there's clouds in the plane, too.
Yes, clouds in the plane, yeah. All right. And so there's this whole situation where this guy jumps out the plane.
That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah,
it was pretty good. And then Dorothy's face. I'm sorry, Carmen.
Sorry. No, I was gonna say he pulls the little string as if he's getting off a bus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Which is also funny because the plane like doesn't have to stop for him to jump out.
Yeah,
it also wasn't his stop yet. mentioned the town. He pulls it and then jumps. Yeah.
Man, we really screwed that guy over.
That's great. It would be great if the plane just stopped in its tracks like a cartoon. Like, and then the guy jumps off. And then the flight attendant just doesn't, like, she doesn't face her. Or like, she just closes the door.
She's over it.
Yeah.
What was she doing? Because she wasn't on her phone, but in my head, she was on her phone, but it was 1988, so she couldn't have been.
She was filing her nails. That was on your phone of the 1980s.
Yeah. That's the phone of the 80s. Love it. Yeah, and so this dude, okay, this, I'll tell the listeners, this dude did jump out with the parachute, so he was safe, I guess.
Sure.
Or he's like, this is where I want to die, and he just jumps off. This is my dead spot, guys.
My dead spot.
Everyone has
to go. This is where it ends.
Designated death spot. Okay, and so that's when it's revealed. Rose sort of reveals that this is a very long trip. They had no idea, because no one at home was like, "Hey, how many days should I call off work?" That wasn't a thing, and so they just go along with it. And so
they're dressed so nice for air travel.
Yeah,
by the way.
But it's the 80s, so were people still dressing up to fly in the 80s? Because I know they were in the 70s. 70s was like,
I think so, yeah.
We're on a plane, we are fancy rich people. Okay, and so, and then this is kind of where it starts, this whole guilt trip, where Rose says it's the highest honor, and then like whoever gets it is the person that is the most honest person ever, or whatever, something like that. Mm-hmm. Not those exact words, but that's when like Rose and Blanche, now Dorothy and Blanche, look at each other and they're like,
"Oh,
oh no, we lied, shenanigans." Okay, and so the next scene, they're on this train because they have to take a train and then they have to take a shuttle. And they're going through Zumbra Falls Tunnel, and this is a tunnel where people disappear, and that's the curse, the curse of the Zumbra Falls Tunnel, a 1 minute long tunnel where people just disappear. And lo and behold, Sophia disappeared during it. But she was
Sophia disappeared.
Yeah, but she was in the bathroom. This is the scene where there was this great like lesbian joke where Dorothy Sophia and Rose step out, and then Dorothy sort of like really sexually walks over towards her and sits next to her like a jock at a locker, at a cheerleader's locker kind of move, you know? And she's like, "Now they're gone, there's something we should do that's very important." And then Blanche is like, "I'm sorry, Dorothy, I like you as a friend."
But I'll pass.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Bea Arthur or Dorothy made a pass on Blanche. She's as Sophia states over and over, alone.
I think if that trip were a little bit longer, I think she'd have been like, "All right."
I'm sure like Blanche snuck into somebody else's like boxcar, or
yeah, let's call it
boxcar.
They all have a boxcar. It's like, "This tunnel's too, or you want to go through my Zumbra Falls tunnel and disappear?"
I'm surprised they didn't make that joke.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great. Oh, and then there was this whole, like, there's like a Mount Rushmore version of in St. Olaf's mountain. I just said that sentence so weird. And so there's like a St. Olaf Mount Rushmore. There you go. That's how words work. And so, but it's the losers of the presidential elections. And there's two Adlai Stevensons who ran for president. And I only know this from watching Golden Girls, because they bring him up a lot. But he's on there twice, because guess what? He lost twice. Mm-hmm. And Dorothy gets it. And then she freaks out that she gets it.
Can anyone name anything else about Adlai Stevenson?
No.
Okay.
I can barely name any of the presidents, let alone the losers of the elections.
Yeah, I know, right?
They started naming them, and I was like, those could just be made-up presidential candidates that lost.
They should make them, like, they should make a chart with all the losers and have to make the kids memorize those, too. Because so the losers can get recognition, like the gold. No, maybe not.
Another budget thing. How do they build a fake Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Yeah, maybe they have an impressive city budget here.
The people of St. Olaf sound like idiots who are rich somehow. Rich. Because they can fly everybody everywhere.
Buy giant mountain sculptures.
Yeah.
Because not buy, but build. You can't buy those. So they're super loaded. So maybe they got some mafia money running through there or something, you know. For them. I mean, there's a woman murdering people. and then also they lost the luggage, which is weird. Like,
I thought that was hilarious.
That was amazing, but such a small plane. With the, like, there's only four suitcases you have to watch out for. You lose those. Yeah. Like, what happened? They fell down Beaver Falls. That's what I think happened. So the next scene, they're on the shuttle, and the shuttle is a horse and wagon with haystacks on it. And so, which is amazing. But also, sorry to bring something else up from a different episode. Before, Rose mentioned that the only way to get to St. Olaf is from St. Gustav. So that's right. But you have to get there through Tobogan. So I'm guessing that's in the winter.
Oh, that's next.
That's next. okay. And so, that's when the great, everyone's kind of outraged at this point. They've been wearing the same underwear for 5 days at this point. And then it was amazing, this part where Rose is like, my friend Ingrid and I used to hang out at that treehouse because they let kids hang out at treehouses miles from St. Olaf. And she's like, I miss her. And then Blanche's like, give her a call. And then Blanche is like, no, Rose is like, sure, I'll give her a call. Ingrid, are you there? And then she answers. She was there, which makes me feel like she lives in that treehouse, which makes me feel like she's a crazy person, never grew up. Or did she have this adult friend as a child? I'm getting too deep into this.
Rose is throwing her voice, and she's also Ingrid.
Oh, shit! That would be crazy! Right? that would be really talented of her. Throw her voice like that.
I like that they just kind of, passive-aggressively, catch up real quick.
Catch up. Oh, yeah. They're like...
they haven't seen each other in, I don't know, 50 years or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I think they've gotten to that age where just saying hello is like having lunch. They're done. They're caught up.
I mean, if she's been in the treehouse, that's probably all they have to catch up on.
Right. Still living
friends
in.
They're friends on Facebook. Yeah.
Lives in treehouse.
That would be awesome.
They have a treehouse, so checks into treehouse album. And so that's when the Sophia's in the front talking to this dude, and the dude's like, the guy that's riding the horse. Sorry, words don't work with me. And so the guy, the horse dude, he's like,
I've got that.
There you go, the horse dude. He's like, you beat Emma Immenhofer on this shit. Like, you're amazing. She does all this stuff. She does charity work. I can't remember anything else besides that.
I think he said something about an orphanage.
Orphanage. Mm-hmm. And so she does all this stuff Rose does, because Rose volunteers everywhere. Like, in previous episodes, so just, believe us. Charity baseball game. And so that's when the lid sort of pops, and Blanche and Dorothy admit to having embellished some of the facts in Rose's non-reviewed entry. And so and so then Rose is like, fuck this shit.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if said. Rose said that?
Yeah. She did. You missed it.
So, I know. It would be great. So, oh,
fuck this shit.
Yeah. It would be great if she did say that. But she's like, no, let's stop at the next payphone and we're going to call him and that. So they have to go straight back, like no sleep.
That was the only part that made me sad. I really thought we were going to see St. Olaf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever see it? Do you guys know?
There is an episode where they do go, and I remember there's some for some reason, Blanche saves the town, and they build her a statue, like and. And that's all I remember.
So many different honors.
There's yeah.
Queen, Woman of the Year, and you can save the town and have a statue built.
But it's blood money. It's some sort of... yeah, yeah. It's the losers yeah. of the election.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
The rest of that money just got funneled through St. Olaf somehow.
It's very matriarchal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
is female-centered.
Yeah, that's yeah nice. That is very true. That's
great. But it's also the dumbest town ever, so... yeah.
Right? And so they're back in the kitchen, and it was sort of like jarring how Blanche entered. She was just like, so excited to be back. Yeah. Like, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, this part of the episode was like almost like a different
episode.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's like yeah. a new episode started.
We were watching it, and I was like, did we start another episode? Uh-huh. Like
writers went on strike know, like, for a while and then they came back.
Right. The 88 strike. and so then, yeah. And then Rose forgives them. Rose is quick to forgive. Mm-hmm. She's just a nice person, right? That's why she's St. Olaf Woman of the Year, because she has a heart. And so they gave it to her. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. So she forgives them, whatever. And it's not hot anymore. No mention of it being the AC's fixed.
Well, they were gone for like probably 3 months.
Yeah. It's winter now. And so they're getting their mail back from Harry Weston, who it's weirdly, we sort of explained a little bit of this, but... at this point in 1988, the spinoff of The Golden Girls just came out, and it's Empty Nest. And so they did a crossover here where Harry Weston, the male lead, comes in, and he's this divorced dad with a dog.
Mm. The best dog.
The best dog, Dreyfus.
Yeah. So it's a mastiff.
Yeah. Super yeah. cute. And he's being attacked by Blanche's vagina, as
she lays it on so thick.
Yeah, yeah.
So thick. Yeah, she wants to bang this dude. Doesn't care that everyone's there. She's like, we're going to do this. You need to. I need an examination, she says.
Yeah. She's like, I want to fill your nest.
Yeah. Whoa. She basically tells him, like, hey, man, I'm going to fuck you. She could have just said that.
Straight up.
She likes puns. That's why she's great.
Yeah.
I fuck you, but I love a good pun.
Nice.
I love her.
And so he's bringing this. It's weird that, like, they mailed the trophy to them mm-hmm. while they were gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, real, like, how? No.
It's also supposed to be, they were like, it's solid milk chocolate. But they're also like, it was 110 yeah. just a little bit ago. So it's like, right. Man,
so it's
I
at
can't
least
believe.
100 now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, how is that not melted?
It makes no sense. And so maybe like it melted and Harry built it back. And
yeah,
like
yeah.
chiseled it. And that's why he seemed nervous.
Oh, God.
He's like, gotta get out of here. Chocolate.
Did seem nervous.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
seemed like he was like, genuinely trying to get out of the house, like not just acting.
Yeah, and he like as soon as he walked in, nervous, yeah. right? Yeah, and he went in through the garage. He came in through the garage, which is kind of weird.
He got real familiar.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm just gonna walk through your where you keep your cars, and so, yeah, and so then it's a gold trophy, But it's like foil. It's yeah. So we covered that. Sorry. Sometimes I start covering things we already covered. And so they they hug her. They're excited and they race. Their glasses and mugs or whatever. I think Blanche has hot tea, which I'm and it was steaming. Yeah. And she's in there like, oof da.
Yeah.
And then the show ends. And they're all very happy. That, oh, at some point, Rose calls them like two-faced lying.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fucking, yeah, like horrible people, which I thought was great.
And everyone just shrugs. They just shrug it off.
Because she's still mad at the beginning of the scene. She's like, they're like, you're not going to talk to us?
And right. Then, yeah. It's so weird.
And I guess also they mentioned that they're all waiting for the doctor's wife's I guess the doctor's wife died like 18 months before. They've been waiting 18 months.
Yeah, to that date.
To bang him. Yeah, yeah, so like.
Blanche had it circled on the calendar.
And on that date, coincidentally, he shows up, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe he knew.
Yeah.
He had a key to the house.
That's why he was nervous.
Yeah.
He knows what's up.
He was hiding a boner in that blue jumpsuit.
That was his jailer blue jumpsuit.
That was. It looked good. I mean, I know he's an old man, but I was like, damn.
Yeah. Very attractive.
Yeah, you came to play.
He's a morsel.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I need to go. I need to go. Okay. And so also, there's a whole episode where Dorothy's afraid of flying. And then in this episode, she's like, okay with
she's
it.
Fine. Yeah.
She's okay on the shittiest airplane.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
She's really high on this episode. And so we did it, guys. Yay.
Oh, let's not forget that Regis Philbin. That was
Oh, my God.
Man, what a good burn out. Regis.
That was in 88. I didn't know he was a thing. I didn't know he was alive in 88.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, was he hosting something?
Yeah, he was hosting
Regis and Kathy Lee.
Yeah.
Back then?
Yeah.
It's been around that long?
A long time. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Holy and he fuck. Was boring then, and they
boring
got
now.
Him.
What so was fun. The dig again? She was like,
She said, I can't believe I am nominated. I'm the most boring person alive.
Yeah.
And then Sophia walks in and says, oh, is Regis Philbin not a thing anymore?
Like, man. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some things never change. Mm-hmm. Regis.
Yeah, that was when he hosted with Kathy Lee. And Kathy Lee was the most irritating woman in the world.
Oh my God.
Which has also not changed.
She's still annoying.
27 years and the zing still works.
Oh man. Some people are lifelong horrible people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so we did it, guys. Yay!
Thank
you guys so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Now I just want to watch more Golden Girls.
Me too.
Yeah.
And so this comes out on April 6th, and we have listeners all over the country, so you can promote wherever you're going to be. Carmen, where are you going to be after?
Oh, gosh.
Or if you're not ready, Sam, where are you going to be after?
If it comes out in April, I think it's the first weekend in May, I'm going to be doing the Cape Fear Comedy Festival.
Oh, cool.
That's Matt Ward's
thing. Yeah.
Cool.
Matt Ward and Timmy Sherrill. So I'm going to be down there. So if you're in the Wilmington area, come watch me.
Whoa. Come watch me. And that's where? On Wilmington,
North Carolina. Yeah, yeah.
But don't be trans there. Mm-hmm. Just don't be trans if you go. Well, no, be trans to show them. Show them up.
Yeah.
And so where can people find you online? And
At Really Sam Evans on Twitter and samevanscomedy.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
You have a website?
It's more of a Tumblr.
That works.
Yay.
I'll promote my shows. In April, I have a couple shows in New York City. I run one every second Friday of the month at a place called Experiment Gallery in Brooklyn. It's called Wigging Out. Comics have to wear wigs and then do a set.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's real fun.
Yay.
And I just have a boring, regular fun stand-up comedy show every second and fourth Wednesday at Beauty Bar in New York City in Gramercy.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And where can people find you online? Or
At Carmen LaGalla on Twitter and Instagram, Carmstagrams.
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 Love it. Yay.
Yeah.
And Genevieve, where are you going to be after April 6th? I think I know where you'll be, but go ahead and tell our listeners.
Well, April 8th through 10th, we'll have the Bird City Comedy Festival, which we're putting on in downtown Phoenix. We basically have 3 days of stand-up and improv and storytelling and sketch and podcast, which includes a live Thank You for Being a Podcast, 1:30 Sunday at the Renaissance. So we've got our headliners are Dana Gould and Beth Stelling and Emily Heller, and
it's gonna be fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's great. If you want to get tickets or find out more information, you can go to birdcitycomedyfestival.com or follow us on social medias. We're at Bird City Comedy on just about anything you can think of. And for me, I'm at Genevieve Rice on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So,
yay. Yeah. Follow everyone. And I'm at Anthony DeSamito on Twitter and Instagram. And on April 6th, I'm going to be at The Grid, which is a comic book store, I believe. I could have this wrong. And it's somewhere in Mesa. And that's Zed Phillips' new show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Zed Phillips. And I'll also be at the Bird City Comedy Festival April 8th through 10th. And it's going to be amazing. You guys should especially come out to the social media show on Friday at midnight. It's where we read our funny Facebook tweets and posts. It's going to be out of control. And along with our own individual Twitters and whatever we have online, the podcast also has a Twitter. It's at Thank You for Being a Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP, also at TIFBAP on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or any other platform you used to listen to us today. For those of you following along, the next episode is season 4, episode 5, and it is titled Bang the Drum, Stanley. Yeah,
it's a Stanisode.
All right, thank you everyone, have a beautiful day and or night. Yay.
Gonna stuff a chicken, gonna stuff the chicken, like my mama taught me, like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken down to Mississippi.